All right. Shalom, everybody. Praise the Lord to our huge crowd here. Let me hear a roar. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov. Hallelujah. We are here. We have three people in the house, and I'm including Pastor Ben. I'm using Pastor. We got three in the house. It was beautiful to have everybody here on Sunday, to see everybody's beautiful faces. All the kids were here. Both my sons were here. It was nice. It was just very nice. In some places, they were still harassing them about having church. I guess in Chicago, she was sending police out to the churches and saying, hey, if you see anybody having church, to go in and stop it and break it up and ticket them. And I said, and the other church, but you hear about the one church, they wouldn't open the door. The police was outside begging.
No.
They said, you know what? Is in that area, so they keep the doors locked. And so the police is out there, go, open up, it's police, you're not supposed to be having church. We're not allowed to open the door until service is over. Sorry, come back later. So they was outside, they couldn't get in. It was like, I was like, praise God. Yeah, that's a good pastor, like, don't open the door. We just gonna have church. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. It's been a wonderful day. We're going to speak on this message today because Pastor Sandy had an incredible dream. And I want to share this dream with you guys because I had it on Monday night. And I love to have a dream when I have dreams like this. I think, how many have I had like this? Maybe two?
Yeah.
You know, no, maybe two? On. No,
the
not.
Dog barking was one.
No, that was a real dog barking. He was, no, that wasn't a dream. That was a dog. I was ready to let him have it. I was like, be quiet. This dog's barking in the middle of the night. I was not dreaming. I was going to let that dog have it. And then whatever I said to that dog, he just kept barking. I'm going to go get your... And I'm like, okay. But when I finished yelling at the dog and the people turning on their lights, the Lord said, wouldn't it be good if you were just like him? No matter what you said, that dog kept barking. And he said, that's how I should be with the rapture. He said, no matter what people say, just tell them, the Lord is coming, the Lord is coming. So that's how the dog became the motto of the church. We got to keep barking. Okay, I am not going to say the person that I saw this video because he's a good Hebrew student and all that stuff. And I'm going to talk about his video that he did. And the Lord, I think the Lord was more upset about him teaching on that than I was, because I saw it and I always went, that wasn't smart at all. But I just went to bed. But I think the Lord was like, I don't like that. Yeah. So let's pray in and let's get started. Amen. I still got to pray us in, huh?
Yes.
Yep. Let's go. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I want to thank you for this day, this beautiful Wednesday night, Father God. We thank you, Father God, for your word this evening. I thank you, Father God, for the dream that you gave me. Oh, I thank you, Father God. And I just want to just thank you for the word that you gave me this morning for tonight's message. And I would also like to just pray for all the churches, Father God, that are just trying to reconvene and start having services, that you would give us protection, Father God, and give us peace as we continue to praise and worship your name, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So the California governor says, well, you can have church, but you can't do any singing. I'm like,
really?
This is... Not allowed.
Are you serious?
These people are like, I don't want to say stupid because that's just, but that's just dumb. Because how are you going to tell church people like, yeah, but don't be singing praises to your Lord.
Oh, goodness.
This is weird. It's weird. But that's Newsom. That's Gavin Newsom, though.
Oh,
that's
my goodness.
That's Gavin Newsom. All right. So let's get started here.
Oh, my goodness.
This is my family. You know them? You see that picture?
Doctor.
That's Dr. Barry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's been doing videos lately. He cracks me up, man. He is really cool. Okay, praise the Lord. So let me explain my dream to you. And I'm not about the guy that, because I don't want to be calling anybody any names, but I think God was very upset that someone was teaching that when Jesus is not coming back to the earth to reign and rule on the earth. That's not what that scripture means, he said. He already rebuilt the temple when he raised from the grave, and now he lives in the temple of our hearts. Really? Therefore, he's not coming back to build a temple.
Really?
And the scriptures that I read on Sunday were, they already happened. That means these scriptures really mean even when the Antichrist comes, he's going to come and he's not going to sit in the temple and declare himself to be God. He's going to sit in people's hearts and he's going to declare himself to be God. It's like, this is what the Lord told me. He said, because I had respect for the guy because he speaks Hebrew and he reads Hebrew and he writes Hebrew. And of course I do all of the same things. So I'm watching him because I'm like, okay, at least he's studying from the Hebrew and he reads in Hebrew. So I'm reading along with him and I'm just like, how does he not get this? Or maybe he doesn't just study. And the Lord was letting me know, like, because you know Hebrew or because you've studied Hebrew and know Hebrew, that is not what makes you a Bible teacher. Because there are a lot of Jews that speak much better Hebrew than me and rabbis and everything, and they can't even understand that Jesus Christ died on Passover day, the same day they exited out of Egypt. The same day they exited out of Egypt, Jesus died on the cross. And John calls him the Lamb of God.
Yeah.
So how they miss that Jesus Christ is the Messiah is beyond me. But I'm going to tell you something. I have a friend, Rabbi Yitzhak Bruce. He says, he's explaining to me Jesus, right? And he's saying that, well, he died on Passover. You guys celebrate the 17th, which is 3 days later. And this is the typology of this. And you got to understand who Yeshua was. And, you know, there are scriptures in the Bible, in our Bible, in our Tanakh, that already spoke about who Yeshua was. So we, as a community fully understand who Yeshua was and the importance of his blood. I looked at him and went, I said, so you know. And he said, those who know don't say, and those who say don't know. And I said, you know that Jesus is the Messiah. And he said, those who say don't know, and those who know don't say. So basically, he had an understanding of Yeshua, but it would throw his balance of his whole family and his community and his job away if he stepped over and said, okay, I believe in Yeshua.
Yeah.
But he understood, okay? So you have to understand, because tradition is not a good word in Hebrew. Tradition is saying to practice something through ignorance without studying. That's what tradition means like in Hebrew. You follow your tradition. That's why Jesus said, because of your tradition, you put aside the word of God, right? And so, because tradition is not a good word in Hebrew. It's to blindly follow something without studying is your tradition. Okay. So let's get into this. I went to sleep. I saw this guy talking about Jesus is not coming back. He already came. He already fulfilled that scripture. I'm going to read the scripture because I'm going to end up going back here. But I want to read the scripture that he said was past. Here it is. In Ezekiel chapter 43. And it's in verse 6 and 7. It says, "Meanwhile, the man was standing beside me, and I heard someone speaking to me from inside the temple. He said, 'Son of man, this is the place of my throne.'" He's showing Ezekiel after building the temple. He says, "This is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet. This is where I will live among the Israelites forever." You hear that?
Yeah.
So Jesus, after he rebuilds the temple, now he's telling them, look, he takes Ezekiel and he shows him, that is my throne. That's where I'm going to sit. This is where the soles of my feet are going to dwell. I'm going to dwell in Jerusalem, in this temple, for 1,000 years during the millennium. And he says, with the Gentiles with me, right?
Right.
So, the guy reads this and he says, that's already been fulfilled. Mm. He's living in the temple of our hearts. He's not going to live in a real building. And I went, so I just went to bed. So I said, I go to bed and I have this dream, right? And in the dream, I'm going to read it in a minute, okay? In the dream, I'm about to speak. I'm going to read it, okay? And then I'll explain it more. It says, I was about to speak to a large arena. Many people were there, okay? The wisdom of God was all over me, explaining to me all the things I knew and how I was able to know it all. So God was explaining to me, everything that you teach and you know, I gave it to you.
Yes.
Because you think that guy should know more because he knows Hebrew. Hebrew is not the reason why you understand the word of God.
Yes.
You understand the word of God because I've anointed you to teach the word of God. Okay? And I was thinking, oh, well, because he learned Hebrew, he should know the Bible. And so, in the dream, it says, the wisdom was all over explaining to me how I knew the Bible and how I was able to know it all. And God said, I taught you everything you know. This is what God is speaking to me. Right before I'm about to walk out here, right? In front of all these people. He says, I taught you everything you know. I taught you why the Bible, I taught you about the 22 Hebrew letters. I taught you what each Hebrew letter means. I taught you why the Bible has 66 books, because it's a trinity of 22 books, 22 books, and 22 books, making up the trinity of perfection and the cross. That is why you have 66 books. He said, I refocused you back to my people and the nation of Israel so you can speak in wisdom. I connected the puzzle for you so you could speak to my people. Not a dream or an occasion of epiphany of thought, but my wisdom. I wrote the book. It is in puzzles to profound the nitwits. And then I said, nitwits? And I was thinking about this guy that taught on that. And the Lord said, he's a nitwit.
Mm.
And I thought, that's not a good thing for me to call somebody. So let me go look it up. And so I looked up the word nitwit. And this is what it says. Dimwit. It says doofus. Halfwit.
Ooh,
it says it's a colloquial expression. And it says, it's someone who imitates intelligence. He's a simpleton, a simple person, a person lacking intelligence or common sense. Wow. And then the Lord said to me, the problem with him is that you know. And if he was doing this in front of you, you would check him on it because you know the truth.
Right.
But since he's talking to a YouTube audience, and most people don't read Hebrew or study Hebrew, he was able to say this and get away with it. But the Lord says, people who know you don't know.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
You can't fake intelligence. Like, I can't sit in front of a bunch of doctors and talk about, you know, how blood moves through the body. They're going to go, you're a nitwit. Yeah, I mean, you're faking your intelligence. You don't know anything about being a doctor.
Amen.
And so the Lord was telling me this guy's a nitwit.
Wow.
For telling people that he's not going to come and live in the temple, that he's only living in the temple of people's hearts, and there'll be no temple on earth during the tribulation. I went, because I heard it, and I was like, that's crazy. And I really liked him. And then I went to bed. God was not pleased. Then the Lord said to me, Deuteronomy 16:16, I gave you the date of the next resurrection. Now, I'm talking to you because he's talking to me. I'm talking to you the way he's talking to me. He says, Deuteronomy 16:16, I gave you the date of the next resurrection, Shavuot. I told you. It says, I told the world when the first resurrection would happen, and it happened, unleavened bread. I showed you the last resurrection in Revelation, tabernacles. Now those who hear you will save themselves from what is coming, and those who don't will be the blunt of their own demise. I am coming. And then I was able to go back to bed.
Wow.
And I went, oh my goodness.
Wow.
So the Lord was like letting me know, this is not something hard. I gave you the date of the first resurrection. I told you when it was going to happen, and it happened exactly when I said. When is the first resurrection? Let's read Deuteronomy chapter 16:16. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, right? Deuteronomy 16:16, and the Lord wanted me to read it in this fashion, though.
Pastor, while you're looking for that, can I give a shout out?
Yes, please do.
Okay, give a shout out to North Sweden, India, North Carolina, New Jersey, Memphis, Tennessee, Houston, Texas, Sun City, Arizona, Toronto, New Zealand, El Dorado, Arkansas, Queensland, Eagle Point, Oregon, Chicago, Daytona Beach, Florida,
wow.
Nebraska, North Carolina, Frost, Texas, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Barbados, Weatherford, Texas, Folsom, Connecticut, Virginia, Michigan,
wow.
Hong Kong, Japan, Ohio, Qatar, Middle East.
Wow.
Fort Worth, Texas, Athens, Georgia, New Mexico, and Cape Town.
Hallelujah.
Now, Pennsylvania.
Now listen, when I went out into the stadium to speak to all these people, right? I'm standing there and I'm looking at a sea of people. And I see Muslims with their garments on. I see Asian people. I see black people. I see Caucasian people. I'm seeing all of these different people standing out here. And then the Lord starts downloading. Because I said, I have nothing to talk about. I don't have anything written down. And he starts going, and he's putting all the words in my head of what he wants to tell me. And what he wanted to tell me was this. I've told you when this is going to happen already. I've already made it plain to you.
Yeah.
Okay? And so God has made this plain to us so that when Pentecost comes, everybody is like, in anticipation of the bridegroom. We're supposed to be like the 10 virgins. We're supposed to be alert of the fact that he's coming, waiting with our lamps trimmed and everything ready to go. This is how we're supposed to be. And God was just explaining to me what he said. And he's like, I already gave you the first resurrection.
Yes.
The Bible is based on the harvest of the earth and the resurrections.
Yes.
When did the first resurrection happen? It should be a simple question and a simple answer for the whole body of God.
Yes.
Okay? And this is the answer. 16:16. It says, three times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose. At the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, that's Pentecost, Shavuot, a week away or so, and the Feast of Tabernacles. No man should appear before me empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift or a portion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. He's telling you this is the harvest seasons of the world.
Yes.
These are the times that I am going to harvest the world. Did he harvest anything at Unleavened Bread? Because if he harvests something at Unleavened Bread and he did it right on time, then that should tell you you can trust the next harvest.
Yes.
So when did the first harvest happen? Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter what? 27? We're going to go there.
What verse is passing?
27 verse 50. Now what has happened here is this. Jesus Christ has died on the cross 3 days ago. Okay? After his death on the 14th of Nisan, the 15th of Nisan for the Jews is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because on the 14th of Nisan they came out of Egypt, and on the 15th of Nisan they started celebrating unleavened bread, and they would only have unleavened bread in their house for the next 7 days. On the third day of unleavened bread, Jesus Christ resurrects from the grave.
Amen.
But not just him. Look, he says, and it says, and Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice. He gave up his spirit. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and rocks split open and the tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people. How many? Many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tomb after Jesus. When did they come out of the tomb? After Jesus' resurrection. And they went into the holy city and appeared before many, many people, many angels. So they're in heaven and they're appearing before many in heaven. And this resurrection has happened. Do you think Christ coming out of the grave, being the first fruit of everyone who will be resurrected from the grave, and he resurrects all the Old Testament saints out of the grave on the third day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread? But he told you in Deuteronomy when he was going to resurrect you. He said it would, the first resurrection of souls coming out of the ground will be at the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So then what did he say would be the second resurrection? Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks. And he said that is the wheat harvest. Okay? So now here we are, we're waiting on the Feast of Pentecost in the 120th year, okay? And now the Lord wants me to do this. We're in the 120th year, right? From 1900 to this year, 2020, the 120th year, okay? Now, that is, God said, this is simple, okay? This is simple. This doesn't take a genius or an epiphany or drugs. This doesn't take a lot, okay? Your God and my God designed the Bible.
Yes.
You know how I know? Every book is situated on a letter. And every book, and we'll look at this tomorrow at Hebrew class, every book is based on that letter. Like in the scripture in Matthew, it'll say, Israel always quotes this, but it always uses the word righteousness in the book of Matthew. But in other gospels, it'll have that same exact scripture, but it won't use the word righteousness because the other books aren't Tzaddik books. And Tzaddik means righteousness, and it's the 18th book of the Bible. You understand? So God only used the words that are for that letter in each book. So he leaves out words because it doesn't connect with that letter. Do you see that?
Yeah.
And you can chart it as you're reading the Gospels and the whole Bible that God is writing the book according to the letters. This is how you know that the whole book is designed. Okay?
Amen.
Now, it's God that says Matthew's going to be the first book. This is going to be the second book in the Gospel. And then we'll do Acts at the end. It's God who's up there designing the book through man's hands. Okay?
Right.
But it's God who's doing it. God, in the 66 books that he chose, said, make Psalms the 19th book of the Bible. Okay? He said, because that's going to be the last generation. Okay? So the Psalms becomes the 19th book of the Bible. Then Psalms 47 and 48 depicts what happened in 1947 and 48. And what happened in 1947 and 48? The announcing that Israel is going to get his land back is in Psalms 47.
Yes.
Israel moving back into the land is in Psalms 48.
Yes.
Okay? So Israel moves back into the land in 1948. So then God tells me one day, count backwards and see how many books there are from Revelation to Psalms. 19 books forward, 48 books backwards.
Yes. That's deep.
I said, this is the centerpiece of the whole Bible.
Yes.
I said, how many people went to church for years and nobody ever told anybody that Israel was rebirthed in 1948? No church I'd ever been to ever spoke about Israel, ever said anything about Israel being reborn back into the world. Nothing.
Yeah.
And then 19 years later, they get back Jerusalem the same as in Kings, where that Israel fell and then Jerusalem fell 19 years apart. Then he brings them back into the land, 1948, 1967, 19 years apart.
Yes.
And you're like, oh my goodness, God is designing the Bible. And so he's telling you what's going to happen. When I'm telling you, like, we need to be ready because this is Pentecost, the 120th year, we need to be ready. This is a very pivotal time in history. The 120th Jubilee has already passed.
Amen.
Trump miraculously brings about prophecy by declaring that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews.
Yeah.
But he doesn't do it in 2019. I mean, in 2019, he doesn't do it in 2018. He does it in 2017 because 2017 is the Jubilee year, the 120th year. It's the 120th Jubilee. So he does it exactly on time because 2017 would now be 50 years from 1967, the Six-Day War. It would be 100 years from 1917, which Balfour Core. So everything is laid out by God, and now God is like, I'm now at this point with you, okay? I'm dreaming this, and you guys, and I'm like, it's like I did something wrong. I say, it's not me. I'm like, well, it's them. Because it's kind of like you have the information to warn these people, and you have to warn them, okay? Because once it happens, it's too late, okay? He says, people, the word that he gave to me was this at the end. Now, those who hear you will save themselves from what is coming, and those who don't will be the blunt of their own demise. I am coming. That's at the end of this dream. So I'm making it plain to you. okay? Jesus Christ is coming.
Yes.
Okay? And now he says, could I have warned the world any more than I have? Could he have? From 2017, everything that went on, four blood moons, from that the other pastor came over, we watched these four blood moons that happened in 1948, 49, 1967, and 68. And we get these same four blood moons. So God is like, I'm warning you, things are happening in the sky. The Lord is about to come. Yeah. Then he says, okay, I'm warning the world. Then 2017, everything happened.
Yes.
The sign of the woman in the sky.
Everything.
As I said to you on Sunday, the sign of the woman in the sky that appears every year. You don't have to say, well, is Virgo going to appear in the sky in September? She does that every year. The problem is, it only appeared twice in 2,000 years where it had 12 stars above its head and not just 9, okay? So that means three other planets have to line up perfectly to make it have 12 stars, right? And so we're sitting here and some guy comes on and he's teaching as a nitwit, okay? He's teaching as somebody who doesn't know the scriptures and he doesn't know what's going on. And I don't know who this other person is that says, oh, we're going to count the 50 days of Pentecost.
Oh, yeah.
But then once we finish counting the 49 49 days, now we have to celebrate Pentecost and then count an additional 50 days, which leads us all the way to July. Which is like, okay, now I don't even know who this person is. It sounds like RuPaul. His voice or her voice sounds like RuPaul. And I'm like, when did this person start getting all this accolades in the Christian community that they can pop up? I've heard the same RuPaul voice used to teach Black Hebrew Israelites. And now they're teaching us this. I don't know if it's a man or a woman, I'm telling you the truth. And it says, now he's trying to teach us when Pentecost is.
Wow.
And we had Christians that are putting my picture up there, July 26th. I did not say July 26th. You better have your little booties ready to go on time. You don't be sitting around talking about July 26th. Because you got my picture with July 26th. I said, I don't know of an additional 50 days from Pentecost, okay? The Lord said, you count 49 days, and then the 50th day, one day,
yes.
Okay, in the Hebrew, okay? It says the 50th, number the 50th day, and that's Pentecost,
yes.
Okay? So, I want us to be ready because God is telling us of this time. How is it that 50 days after they left Israel, they married God in underneath Mount Sinai, okay? On the 50th day, okay? Then Jesus, after he resurrects, he walks around for 40 days, and he tells the apostles to go wait for me in Jerusalem because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And on the exact, it says in Acts, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they. So that was on the 50th day. But now you got this RuPaul voice that's coming in saying, oh no, when the 50th day comes, you got to down another 50 days. And I'm like, no, we can't listen to everybody. Let's stick to the word of God. Now is the time of your salvation. And God's saying, get excited because it's about to happen.
Amen.
Okay. Now to get back to the subject. Let's go to Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. Daniel chapter 9. Why would I not? You in Daniel chapter 9? Okay, now watch this.
What verse, John?
We're going to be in 9:24. Okay, watch this, and I want you to follow me because I want the same anointing that God puts on me to understand the scriptures as I'm reading them to be upon you so you see what God is doing. Listen to what it says. It says, 70 weeks are determined upon the people, upon thy people. He's talking to Daniel, okay? He says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city. Whose people are they? They're Daniel's people. Who people are those? They're Jewish. And it says, and on the holy city. The holy city is Jerusalem. And he says it's going to do six things within this next 70 weeks. Okay? So it says to finish the transgressions, okay? When these 77s are over, transgressions will be finished. To make an end of sin, to make a reconciliation for iniquity. Christ did that on the cross.
Yeah.
To bring in an everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision of the prophecy, and last, to anoint the Kadoshim. What's the Kadosh? What's the holy? And he says, and last, to anoint the most holy. In the Hebrew, it says the Kadosh Kadoshim. You know what that is? That's the temple where God lives. It's the holy spot that's within the temple. Okay? It's the holy of holies in the temple. The Kadosh Kadoshim is the holy of holies in the temple. Now, if there's no temple that's going to be standing, then how is the holy place going to be anointed and bring an end to the 70th week of Daniel?
Right.
If he's talking about, okay, he's telling you the holy of holies is going to be anointed. Okay? Now, the most holy place, and that is the Holy of Holies. This is where the Spirit of God dwells inside of the temple. This is what Jesus is trying to show Ezekiel. He brings him out and he says, look inside. That's where my throne is. This is where I'm going to dwell among the people of Israel. This is where my feet are going to be, right? He's telling you, I'm coming back because I want everyone to know you're not being raptured to leave forever. You're only leaving for 7 years. You've got to come back.
Right.
This is a cleanup process. Jesus Christ is only taking the church out to go to clean up the place. Then he's bringing you back. The next time you return here, Jesus will be king over the whole earth, and you will be his assistant. And we've got to understand big things are going on. So that's why I put it in Hebrew, so you can see where it says the last part, the Kadosh Kadoshim, is going to be anointed. Now, let's go to the next scripture. Just stay on the page. We can stay on the paper right here. You see Amos right there? The book of Amos? Yeah. Chapter 9, verse 11. This is what God says here. He says, in that day, I will restore David's fallen temple. I will repair the broken places, restore its ruins, and build it as it used to be, so that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the Gentiles that bear my name. Does yours say the nations? If your Bible says the nations, it's the word goyim, okay? Yes, but remember, the word nations is the same word Gentiles, okay? Because he never calls the nation of Israel goyim. When he says and all the goyims of the world, he's talking about the Gentile people. So he says this, so that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the goyim that bear my name, all the Gentiles that are bearing the name of Jesus, declares the Lord, who will do these things. The days are coming, declared the Lord. The days are coming when? When he says he's going to come and rebuild David's fallen temple and restore his ruins. And he also says, to save a remnant of Edom, and he says, and all the Gentiles that bear my name. Yeah. Okay? So now God is making a statement here. I'm going to come. I'm going to rebuild the fallen temple. Okay? Now watch this. Let's go to Acts chapter 15. And I'm going to it because just in case there's more I want to read. Acts chapter 15. Are you there? Okay. Here's what it says. It says, when they finished, James spoke up. Brothers, listen to me. Simon has described to us how God at first showed his concern by taking from the Gentiles a people for himself. The word of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written that we just read in Amos. After this, I will restore. After what? After he takes out a Gentile people for himself, he says, I will restore and rebuild David's fallen temple. Its ruins I will rebuild. I will restore it that the remnant of men may seek the Lord and all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord, who does these things that have been known for ages. Second scripture, God declaring, I'm going to rebuild it.
Yeah.
Okay? He didn't say anybody else is going to build the temple. Okay? We know the Antichrist is going to build the temple, but somehow that place is getting destroyed because when Jesus comes back, he says, I'm going to rebuild the ruins.
Yeah.
You understand? Because if Satan is sitting in the Holy of Holies declaring himself to be God, I think that's the first place the lightning is going to strike. Right? So you better know that that place ain't going to be able to stand. Okay? Now let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 43. Because it's going to say to you the exact same thing. And I wish I, and I'm going to have to go through this so that you understand this because, okay, now watch this. I'm going to go through this. Let's go back. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go back to Ezekiel chapter 39 first, okay? Because I want you to know what's going on in Ezekiel chapter 39.
And what verse?
Huh? We're going to be, at verse 12, okay? We're going to be at verse 12, 39 verse 12. Now, Israel's just had a war, the Gog-Magog war, okay? They came to the Armageddon war. They just came, and they're going to try and destroy Israel. And it says, for 7 months, the house of Israel will be burying them in order to cleanse the land. All the people of the land will bury them, okay? These are the people that came to war against Israel. And it says, and the day I'm glorified will be a memorial for them, declared the Lord, the sovereign Lord. Men will be regularly employed to cleanse the land. Some will go throughout the land, and in addition to them, others will bury those that remain on the ground. And the end of the 7 months, they will begin their search, and they will go through the land, okay? And one of them, when one of them sees a human bone, he will set up a marker beside
it until the grave diggers have buried it in the valley of Hamon Gog. Also, the town called Hamanah will be there, and there will be, and so they will cleanse the land. So now listen what he tells you. He says, son of man, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come out, call out to every kind of bird and wild animal. Okay, because you got all these dead people lying in Israel because they tried to come there, right? He says, call out to every bird and all the wild animals, assemble and come together from all around to the sacrifice I am preparing for them. Okay, and I'm reading it as if it's Hebrew. So he's preparing a dinner and a sacrifice for these wild animals and these eagles and things that eat flesh, right? I am preparing for you a great sacrifice on the mountain of Israel. There, these animals, you will eat flesh and drink blood. You will eat the flesh of mighty men and drink the blood of princes, of the princes of the earth. And if they were rams and lambs, goats, and as if they were rams, lambs, goats, and bulls, all of them fattened animals from Bashan. It says, at the sacrifice I am preparing for you, you will eat fat till you are glutton and drink blood till you are drunk. At my table, you will eat your full of horses and riders and mighty men, soldiers of every kind, declares the sovereign Lord. Yeah. So he's telling the prophet, call all the foul birds, the vultures and the eagles and the crows and all the wild animals, the hyenas. Tell them to all come here because you're going to grub. Why? Because every nation is going to come against the nation of Israel to destroy it. And God says he's going to strike them out of the air, and they will fall to the ground in their weapons, and they will know that God has fought the war for Israel. Okay? Because the battle of Armageddon is every nation coming against the nation of Israel. And God says, don't worry about it. Just let them come. But get the animals ready, because they're going to eat. Okay? You've got to understand. So now, it's the end of time, right? And in chapter 40, it says, in the 25th year of exile, at the beginning of the year, on the 10th of the month, the 14th year after the fall of the city, on that very day, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he took me there in a vision, and he took me to the land of Israel and set me in a very high mountain on whose side, on the south side, where were some buildings that looked like a city. He took me there, and I saw a man whose appearance was like bronze. Why bronze? You guys know? Bronze is the color of judgment. Pastor Ben went with me. Bronze is the color of judgment. When John sees Christ, he says his hair was like wool, but his legs were like bronze. Because when he landed, it was judgment. Do you understand? When he sets foot on that mountain and it splits in half, that's a bronze foot. You understand? Because he's coming in judgment. So this guy who looks like bronze, he's judgment. And he says he was standing in the gateway with a linen cord and a measuring rod in his hand. The man said to me, son of man, look with your eyes, hear with your ears, and pay attention to everything I'm going to show you. For that is why you have been brought here. Tell the house of Israel everything you see. I saw a wall completely surrounding the temple area. No temple though, right?
Right.
The length of the measuring rod in the man's hand was 6 long cubits on each side. So now he starts giving you, because this is the man of bronze, this Jesus, he's going to start building the temple.
Yes.
Because it's the end of the time. He has returned with the saints. He is on earth, and he's now going to start rebuilding the temple.
Yes.
Because he already said it in Amos. He already said it in Acts.
Yes.
When he comes, he's going to rebuild the temple. That's good, Pastor Ben, because we're going to finish this tomorrow. Now, but we still got a little time. So now, if you go through here, you'll see he's going to build the north gate. You see the north gate, the south gate. And then it says he builds the rooms preparing for the sacrifice. And then it says rooms for the priest, because they still got to sacrifice 70 bulls to the nations. Okay. And then it says now in chapter 40, verse 48, which is perfect. He brought me to the portico of the temple and measured the jambs of portico. They were 5 cubits wide, and then he gives you the measurements of that, okay? So now he's built the temple. We get over to chapter 41, verse 4, and he says, and he measured the length of the inner sanctuary. It was 20 cubits wide and 20 cubits across, and the outer sanctuary. And he said to me, this is the Kadosh Kadoshim. He builds the Holy of Holies right in front of him. This is going to be the Kadosh Kadoshim. Why? Because the Spirit of God has to come there and dwell, because you got to anoint the holy place. That's what Daniel tells us. Now, he builds the temple. He builds the Holy of Holies. You get to chapter 43, and it says the glory returns to the temple. And it says, the man brought me to the gate facing east, and I saw the glory of God, the glory of God of Israel coming from the east. Remember, when Jesus returns, where is he coming from? The east, just like the sun. It's a prophecy. It's going to come up and burn one day. Okay. Then he says, his voice was like the roar of a rushing water, and the land was radiant with his glory. The vision I saw was like the vision I had seen when he destroyed the city, like the vision I had at Kibar River. Remember when he meets with Ezekiel in chapter 1? He's coming to Babylon. He's coming to Babylon to destroy. But now he's coming and he's rebuilding. Okay, let's read verse 6. While the man was standing beside me, I heard someone speaking to me from inside the temple. He said, son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place for the soles of my feet. This is where I will live among the Israelites forever. The house of Israel will never again defile my name. So he's telling them, I'm going to come and sit in this temple and I'm going to live. When you read Revelation chapter 20, Satan is locked up, and it says those who have been killed because they didn't receive the mark, and it says they came back to life to reign and rule with Christ for how long? 1,000 years. Where at? On earth. And Jesus has told you time after time, I'm going to rebuild the falling temple. And there is where I'm going to live. Okay? So this is not something that you would even have to argue about. Let's look at Revelation chapter 11 on your page, verse 1 and 2. And it says, and there was given me a reed like a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar. This is in the tribulation. And the altar and them that worship therein, right? Because the temple's been rebuilt and they've been worshiping again. But the court which is outside the temple, leave it out and measure it not, for it is given to the Gentiles. And the Holy of Holies, they shall tread under for 42 months, for 3.5 years. So in the 3.5 years within the tribulation,
He's talking about measuring a temple. So there's obviously there's a temple in the earth standing when he comes. But why would he tell the angel to measure the temple? And then he says, after he measured the temple, he said, leave that part away, because for the next 42 months, the Gentiles are going to trample over that. Okay? So there is a temple. Yeah. Now comes the incredible thing of Romans chapter 11, 25, which we read on Sunday. And it says, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit. The blindness in part is happened to Israel until the full number of Gentiles come in. Yes, Komari. My friend tells me your Greek is horrible, but he says, I know what you're trying to say. So he says, but you're right. This is what the word means. To go out or come in, to enter, either a man or animal, as into a house or a city. Mm. So when he says, when the full number of Gentiles come in, what is he saying? You have to leave and enter a city or a house for it to be this word. You understand? Yeah. So the Gentiles are leaving and they have to enter into a city. And he says, till the full number of Gentiles leave, the blindness will stay upon Israel. But when we leave, he said, then he will come out of Zion and rescue Israel. Okay? So I'm going to send this to this guy, because if you're reading Hebrew and you're appearing that you're speaking for God, you've got to study the word. But God told me that, Sandy, you understand the word because I put the puzzles together for you. That means I've anointed you to have the understanding. Your job is to teach, okay? So I'm teaching him now so he doesn't say the opposite of God. Because when you speak, if God says Jesus Christ is the only way to get to heaven, and you say there are many ways to get to heaven, you've turned into Oprah. You're on your way to hell, right? Yeah. You can't. God never said that there's many ways to heaven, okay? So you can't say it, because you've got to be in line with what God says.
Amen.
Okay. Do I got 4 minutes, Pastor Ben?
You got it if you want.
All right. Let's do this last scripture. You see this last scripture down here? Mm-hmm. All right. Now watch this. This is really good. Okay. Now watch this. I'm going to ask you a question. When Jesus returns, okay, when we get raptured up, do we go straight up to heaven? Where do we go to first? We go to the cloud first, right? So that means that the Son of God has to do what? He has to come down to the cloud, then call us up, right? Okay. In the marriage that Isaac is going to marry Rachel, and Abraham sends Eliezer to go and find a bride for Isaac. Okay? He says, go and find a bride for my son and bring her back here, because he's not going there. Right. Okay? So now he goes, he finds this woman, and he tells her, my master has a son. They're very wealthy. He's looking for a wife. And I asked God to help me find her, and I found her, and it's you. Put these diamonds on, put this ring, put this in your nose. And he's giving her all these gifts. And her family says, will you go back with this man? And she says, yes, I will. Bling, bling, bling. So Eliezer takes her and lifts her up from the earth and puts her on the camel, and then they go back to Abraham's house, right? But now, if this is a typology of Jesus, he can't be at Abraham's house to receive his bride. Right. So what happens here? It says here,
And Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahairoi. That's the well, that's the well of the living I see. So he came from Abraham's house. He didn't stay there. And he dwelt in the south. Okay? That's called, that city is called Negev. But it says he dwelt in the south. Why did he come down south? Because when Jesus receives his bride, he's coming down to meet his bride. Oh, yeah. So now Isaac, he says he was in Beer Lahairoi, but now he goes down and dwells in the southern country, which is called Negev. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the evening tide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, a camel were coming, and Rebekah lift up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lifted off the camel. Now, Jesus will meet you down south. You understand? He is not going to meet us in heaven. He's coming down to the cloud, and that's why Isaac had to come down to the south. And then did Isaac say, well, I'm down here in the south, and where's my bride? No, it is not the son's business to know when his wedding is. Do you know that's a Jewish tradition? So when Jesus saying this, every Jew says he's talking about a marriage. He says, nobody knows the day or the hour, not even the Son nor the angels, only the Father. From tradition, from Jewish tarbut, he's going to know these people are talking about, he's talking about a marriage. What marriage is going to take place? Let me explain to you. Two will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Then he uses the word taken to mean what? Taken as a friend and a companion of God. And those who aren't ready will be divorced from God or left, right? So he's giving you the whole story in the scriptures. He's told you when the next resurrection is going to happen. When is it going to happen? At the feast of, at Shavuot. Why? Because it's a wheat harvest. Is Jesus John says the wheat harvest belongs to Jesus. You understand? John spoke of everything about the wheat harvest. The wheat harvest belongs to Christ. He's coming for the wheat harvest. When is the wheat harvest? Shavuot. So now we're in this time. We're supposed to be getting ready to go home. I don't know what could possibly have more evidence than this. And I'm telling you, I'm not prepared to not go. I'm only prepared to go.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
So the Lord says, get excited. Put some oil in your lamp. Pray with your friends. Be ready. You understand? Not that you're not ready because you're in Christ. You know what I mean? But being ready means I'm in Christ. What? I'm not living in disobedience. I'm not living like I want to. I'm not pretending to be a Christian. I am ready for Christ. I'm not disobedient. I didn't leave my oil at home. My oil is with me in my prayer life, in my reading life, in my fellowship life, in the way I conduct myself. My oil is with me. You understand?
Yes.
And let's get ready to go.
Yes.
Because this is the time of the harvest. Days away, and I'm excited, and God says he wants it, the body of Christ, to be excited. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Good. You and your daughter.